Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives or become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. While our listener support campaign continues, all donations of $7 or more to support the show will receive access to our premium site. Those donating $20 or more will receive a free digital copy of my ebook, All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Columbo. In addition, they'll receive one additional gift. Options include the $50 level, an autographed copy of my novel, Tales of the Damned Night, for those in the U.S. or Canada, and at the $100 level, an audiobook copy of Tales of the Damned Night. There's a full list of all of the thank you gifts available over at support.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time to get into today's episode. This one is another one of those rehearsal recordings with no music, but here is Professor Allenby Murdered.
Anything else, Miss Rogers?
Here's something, Mr. Keg. A note from the alumni secretary at the university. He suggests you come visit a few days.
Every time I go up there, I'm tapped for part of a new baseball diamond or a stained glass window in the chapel.
You never seem to mind, Mr. Keg.
It's worth it to talk with some of my old professors again.
At least you'd be away from murders and crime.
Maybe so. I can't think of any reason why a killer would pick a town that small or a campus that quiet. But you never know. You never know when you may be called upon to testify to an act of violence in which you have become involved quite innocently. Even now, somewhere in that small town, perhaps at the college, there may be a crime in the making.
So will that phone ever stop ringing so we can get on with this?
Dr. Allenby.
No, I have no comment. I told you newspaper people before, I have nothing further to say about my discovery. No, I told you I have nothing to say. Goodbye. Hello.
Is this the desk? Mrs. Crow, if anyone else calls, tell them I've left the faculty club. I can't be reached. Thank you. Now, back to my speech, Barlow. I was summarizing, I believe. Let's start the recording.
You have just compared Kalara Temple with other important discoveries when I stopped the machine. These recordings on tape are certainly perfect.
And my discovery of Kalara Temple will at last prove my theory, namely, that the Mayan people came from the Orient through what we now know as Alaska, down the Pacific coast into Mexico and Yucatan. Further, and equally important, our findings will disprove much of the error, invention, and deliberate fantasy created by that prolific author of Journey to the Hidden Valley and The Golden Serpent. I am sure you can all identify the master of misinformation to whom I refer.
That was a very pointed barb at Mr. Weimer.
That was my intention, Barlow. Weimer's a fraud.
A disgrace to anthropology.
Yes. Why doesn't the machine go on?
The tape is still running. The pause is when you stopped for a glass of water.
Hmm? Oh, yes, so I did. I didn't lose their attention, either.
You can't blame them. As you said, the greatest discovery since King Tut's tomb was opened in 1922.
By now, I am sure you are wondering about my future plans for excavation. I will lead an expedition to the interior of Yucatan as soon as possible. We will return with a golden treasure that will beggar the dreams of Spanish conquistadors. Thank you for your attention.
Exceptional paper, Dr. Allenby.
Yes, Barlow.
Nice of you to record it for me.
I was glad to do it.
Good of you to feel that way. Now, what's wrong with the machine?
When the tape runs out, it always sounds like this.
No excuse for that confounded noise.
There we are.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you again.
I made a copy of your speech, Doctor.
What would I do with it? I have no machine to play it on.
I mean a transcript, a typewritten copy.
Well, tell someone else to bother me. And never mind the copy, Barlow. I'm coming. Wait a minute. Who is it?
Dr. Allenby?
Yes.
Message for you. Hi, Doc. Rocky's the name. Rocky Martin. Like I told you on the phone.
You said you had a message.
It's from me, Doc.
This faculty club is private. How did you get in here?
Through the front door. Tipped my hat and slipped the bouncer a five.
The idea. I'll have
Relax,
you...
Relax, Doc. Take it easy.
Something I can do, Dr. Allenby?
Stay here, Barlow. I want you to hear every word of this conversation. Now, Martin, say what you have to say and get out.
Okay, Doc. I see here in the paper you found yourself some antique that's loaded with pots and pans made out of gold.
Come to the point.
I know guys who would finance a trip to Yucatan if they could get their hands on a piece of solid gold treasure. Now, you know where the stuff is. I know who'll back the trip.
This is preposterous. He's suggesting that you turn over the treasure of Kalara to...
Hoodlum.
Get out!
We fenced the stuff for you and give you a cut.
Will you leave my room?
We're not through talking.
I believe I can end the conversation. Hand me the phone, Barlow.
Give it that, you punk. That's better. It says here in the paper you've got a map of the place, Doc. Well, maybe that'd do. I'll ask my business partners, and I'll check back with you later. Take it over. So long, Dr. Allenby.
Telephone the police. Tell them to arrest that man and... No, this is ridiculous. I'll simply tell the doorman I refuse to see him again.
How did he know about my speech, anyway? The newspaper. I mentioned...
He did say that. Let me see the paper.
I'll go on to my room now.
Barlow, you stupid... You did this. My entire speech, word for word... You and that infernal recording machine.
At no time did you mention that the report was confidential.
I've been charitable with you, Barlow. I've overlooked your incompetence as my assistant. And your jealousy. Knowing full well you're a fool, a clumsy student, and a worse teacher. Now, by heaven, I'll... Weimer.
If I were you, Barlow, I would thrash the brilliant Dr. Allenby.
Get out of here, Weimer.
I read your speech, Doctor.
It was never supposed to be printed.
So, these things you say behind my back.
Stay away from me.
You call my work errors, inventions, deliberate fantasy. You dare speak of me in this manner.
You are a fraud.
And for 25 years, while you stayed on your campus, read your books, and showed off before your students, I lived in jungles, endured fever, fought with the natives, studied, and wrote. Now you tell me I'm a fraud. You who found the Temple of Kalara after you read my report telling approximately where the center of Mayan culture was located.
That's a lie. Did you read Mr. Weimer's report, Dr. Allenby?
Get out.
Get out, both of you! I go. But I'll never forgive you. I'll repay you when the time is right.
Good night, Dr. Allenby.
I'm a liar. And a fool.
Good evening. The desk.
Gordon Weimer, please.
Mr. Panford, do you have a Gordon Weimer registered?
Weimer? Oh, yes. Room 407, Mr. Cole.
I'm ringing, Mr. Weimer.
Thank you.
Dr. Allenby told Chief Norcott two men are bothering him.
Allenby's an old fussbudget.
I heard him talking to you, Mr. Panford.
How did I know he wouldn't want to see any reporters? His speech was in the paper.
Only the man wasn't a reporter.
He said he was.
I'm sorry, there's no answer in 407. Any message for Mr. Weimer?
No. No, thank you.
The man said Dr. Allenby was expecting him.
$5 and you were sure. I certainly can't blame Dr. Allenby for... Good evening, the desk.
Is that you, Mrs. Crone?
Hello, Professor Barlow.
I'm dictating a letter and I've got a upon a word I can't spell.
Maybe one of us will know. Professor Barlow can't spell a word.
No. What is it?
What's the word, Professor?
You remember years ago, they opened a tomb in Egypt, a king's tomb in one of the pyramids. They called him King Tut.
King Tut.
T-U-T. That's all I remember.
I'm sending this letter to another professor and quoting Dr. Allenby. I just can't say King Tut. The full name is Tutankhamun.
Oh, dear. He has to have the full name. Tutankhamun.
Tell him to call the library.
Mr. Panford suggests you call the library.
That's a very good idea. The number is College 4920, isn't it? Would you get it for me, please?
Just a minute. I'm ringing the library.
Library.
Go ahead, please.
Would you mind checking the spelling on the name of King Tut of Egypt? It's pronounced Tutankhamun.
Oh, we're about ready to close. Almost 10 o'clock.
I would appreciate it.
Well, I'll have to go to the reference room. Take me a few minutes.
I don't mind waiting.
Suit yourself.
Is she going to look it up for you?
Yes, I told her I'd hold the line. I hope that won't tie up your switchboard, Mrs. Cole.
I'm not very busy. I could hold the call here. Ring you when she comes back.
No, no, don't trouble. I'll just go on dictating my letter.
All right, Professor.
Mr. Robert Kellard, Harvin and Line Publishers, 120 Park Avenue, New York. Dear Bob, I hope by now you have looked over my latest draft on the manuscript and find it to your approval.
Imagine that. Professor Barlow thought we could spell Tutankhamun, or whatever it is.
One of the few around here that gives the help any credit. Most of them, she just like, just a minute, young man. Where do you think you're going?
I told you once tonight, pal. I've got business with Dr. Allenby.
He told me to keep you away from his room.
That's so.
Now you get out of this building before I call the police.
Okay. Lots of ways to skin a cat.
What does that mean?
Skip it, Horatius. See you around.
Did you see him? The same man. He tried to break in here again.
That's nerve for you.
Today, Dr. Allenby presented his paper to the Archaeology Society and caused a sensation. You know how the tyrant can spell by the crowd. Well, this time, he outdid.
Good evening, the desk.
Gordon Weimer, room 407. I'm checking out in a few minutes. I want my bill ready so I can pay when I leave.
Thank you. Get 407's bill ready. He's checking out.
To Mr. James Roche, 1423.
How long should it take to look up a simple word in a reference book? And... Good evening. The desk. Hello. This is the desk. Hello, Dr. Allenby? Oh, switchboard. Pan, something's wrong with Dr. Allenby's line.
Appreciating your cooperation, I remain truly yours, John Barlow.
I can hear Mr. Barlow all right. Hello. Hello, Mr. Barlow?
Hello, this is the library. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm listening.
The spelling on that word is... T-U-T-A-N-K-H-A-M-E-N with an umlaut over the U.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
What's wrong with this switchboard? Hello. Hello, Dr. Allenby. Dr. Allenby. Mr. Panford, Dr. Allenby doesn't answer his phone. It's off the hook, but I can't get him to answer.
That newspaper fella. Maybe he got in the back way. Call a police, Miss Crow. I'm going upstairs.
Be careful. Be careful, Mr. Panford.
Go on, Mr. Panford.
Dr. Allenby was lying near the table, face down, arms outstretched with a dagger in his back. His telephone was lying on the floor beside him.
When did the police arrive?
A few moments later.
Thank you, Mr. Panford. That'll be all. A coroner. Coroner Broman. Yes? Yes, what is it you want? Well, my name is Jonathan Keg. I'm an alumnus of the university, and I have many friends here. I'd like to offer my services.
In what capacity?
I often serve as amicus curiae in cases of this kind.
Amicus? Oh, yes, yes, of course. I believe I recall your name, Jonathan Keg. Well, certainly. Pull up a chair.
Thank you.
Quiet. Quiet, everybody. Now, this gentleman is Mr. Keg. He has a national reputation for serving as an amicus curiae, a friend of the court. He's kindly offered to help me in this inquest. Understand now, he represents no one. He simply uses expert knowledge and experience and his ability to cross-examine to get at the truth. Anything more, Mr. Keg?
I believe that covers it.
You go right ahead.
Call Rocky Martin. I'm not satisfied with some of his answers.
Mr. Martin, will you return to the stand?
Will you tell us again what you did after you were ordered to leave the faculty club?
The first time or the second time?
The second time.
I drive to the nearest place that's open, buy a cup of coffee, and try to figure out what to do next. Maybe I call my partners and tell them I'm getting the brush off. Maybe I forget the whole thing.
Can you prove you were in a cafe at the time Dr. Allenby was killed?
One of the girls on the counter might remember me. I gave her a little routine. She says, get lost.
We'll check on that. Will you tell us why you came to the campus to see Dr. Allenby?
I stopped in town for a hamburger. I see in the paper about a professor who knows where to lay hands on buried treasure. Being a small boy at heart, I figured it'd be good to pick up the doc and go digging. I call long distance a few other guys who say they'll bankroll the trip if the doc guarantees a payoff. What next is logical. I go see the doc.
And he refuses to cooperate?
He is insulting. He calls me a hoodlum. Me.
So you threaten to return and take the map that shows where the treasure is located?
I say maybe the map will do.
Chief of Police Norcart has testified that Dr. Allenby telephoned and said you threatened to take the map. He asked for police protection.
Maybe the doc was upset. Ask the little guy over there, Mr. Barlow. He heard what I told Allenby.
Why did you try to see Dr. Allenby again?
Give him a little time and people change their minds, you know.
What was his answer?
Like I say, I never popped the question. I never got upstairs.
That will be all. Next, please, Professor John Barlow. Professor Barlow, Mr. Martin says you were present when he talked to Dr. Allenby.
I was.
What happened at that meeting?
Mr. Martin entered the room as I was about to leave. He presented his proposition to Dr. Allenby, who flatly refused to be a party to it. Mr. Martin mentioned something about the map and said he intended to return.
Was his manner threatening?
He's a large man. He resented Dr. Allenby's refusal to cooperate.
Was Dr. Allenby concerned?
He said it was ridiculous.
When did you leave Dr. Allenby's room?
After Mr. Weimer came to see him.
Mr. Weimer?
Yes, a professor from another university.
Did he threaten Dr. Allenby?
He said he would never forgive Dr. Allenby and would repay him when the time was right.
When did you leave Dr. Allenby?
9:30 or so. I was flustered. You see, I had displeased him by giving a copy of his speech to the newspapers.
Did you argue?
Dr. Allenby had a violent temper, but I have weathered his storms for over 25 years.
You left his room and went to your own?
Yes. I had some letters to dictate.
You stayed in your room?
Yes.
You were on the same floor near Allenby's room?
Yes. A few doors away.
You heard no unusual sounds? No loud conversation?
No. I really can't remember.
Thank you. That will be all. Mr. Gordon Weimer, please. Mr. Weimer, you were in Dr. Allenby's room on the night he was murdered and you threatened him.
That is correct.
Why did you go there?
I was called a master of misinformation.
Then you had a case for libel?
I had every motive for murder.
Where were you when Allenby was murdered?
In my room, packing.
Was your room on the same floor as Dr. Allenby's?
I refuse to answer. I would do anything in my power to keep his justified executioner from being captured.
Quiet. Quiet, please.
Coroner Broman, I would like to request a recess until tomorrow morning. At that time, I would like to cross-examine an innocent bystander to the Allenby murder.
In compliance with Mr. Keg's request, this coroner's jury is now adjourned, and we'll meet again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Do you recognize the three men seated directly in front of you?
I do. There's Professor Barlow. And the next, his name is Martin. Rocky Martin, I believe. And that's Mr. Weimer. On the night of the murder, Mr. Weimer asked for his bill and tried to leave. The police came. He resented being detained. When he heard what had happened, he started to cheer.
I believe Mr. Weimer called you earlier in the evening.
A few minutes before Dr. Allenby was murdered. He said he was leaving. I was surprised he was in his room because I had rung a little while before.
There was no answer the first time?
No, sir.
This Mr. Martin, are you sure he left the building?
He walked toward the door. That's all I saw.
Coroner Broman, Dr. Allenby was murdered a few minutes before 10 o'clock. At that time, Mr. Weimer did not answer the telephone in the room where he said he was packing. Also, the police report the waitress at the cafe does not remember Mr. Martin. Now, Mrs. Crow, there were other calls. Will you tell us about them?
Professor Barlow called.
Yes?
He couldn't spell a word. That king from Egypt, King Tut. He needed the full name, and the library checked it up for him.
Professor Barlow called the library, waited while someone found the spelling of Tutankhamun.
He asked us first. Mr. Panford suggested the library.
So you looked up the number?
No. Professor Barlow had it handy.
What time was this?
A little before 10. He was still waiting on the phone when Dr. Allenby's light flashed.
This testimony definitely establishes the presence of Professor Barlow in his own room at the time of the murder. Now, I want you to remember each sound you heard on the switchboard. Say, 1 minute before the call from Dr. Allenby's room.
Mr. Weimer called.
A minute before Allenby's phone fell to the floor?
Yes, sir.
What was his room number?
407.
Go on.
Professor Barlow was still dictating his letters.
While he waited for the librarian?
Yes. Then Dr. Allenby's light went on, and I answered, but I couldn't hear anything. I thought the switchboard was broken again.
What did you do?
I kept saying hello.
Anything else?
I opened the key. I could still hear Professor Barlow. Then the librarian told him how to spell the word, and the professor thanked her and hung up.
Nothing else? No other sound?
That switchboard makes funny sounds once in a while. I did hear a sound, like applause. People clapping.
Like applause. People clapping. Since the time we talked last night, Mrs. Crow, I have had a chance to record on this tape machine a crowd applauding. Now, will you kindly listen and see if this is what you heard?
No, that's not right. It was lighter. Further away. I don't exactly know how to tell it to you. What's that?
Well, nothing to be alarmed about. The tape has run off this roll. The end is flapping against the machine.
No, don't turn it off. That's it. That's what I heard.
Thank you, Mrs. Crow. That will be all. Mr. Barlow, you have a tape machine?
I dictate all my letters. As Mrs. Crow told you, I was doing my letters while I was waiting for the librarian.
I'm glad you finally remember your call to the library, Professor Barlow.
Yes, of course. Now that it was mentioned, I...
Coroner Broman, the testimony of our innocent bystander, Lottie Crow, can be interpreted in only one way. Professor John Barlow killed his friend, Dr. Allenby.
A man of your standing should be careful about accusing people, Mr. Keg. Dr. Allenby and I were
hated enemies, mostly because he never noticed you.
I was his assistant.
And had taken his abuse for 25 years. You saw two other men who might be blamed for his death. You did what you wanted to do for a long, long time.
I was in my room.
It was very simple. You needed 3 minutes to walk down the hall, pick up a dagger Dr. Allenby kept on his desk, and kill him and return. You knew Mrs. Crow and Mr. Panford would be flattered and remember that you asked for a spelling.
You knew the library would take at least 3 minutes to find the answer.
Mr. Panford suggested the library.
Professor Barlow had the phone number at his elbow. He would have had the idea himself if Mr. Panford were not resourceful.
I see nothing to deny. You have no proof.
You knew every switchboard operator checks long calls to see if the parties are still talking. And so you were heard talking, dictating letters, tape recorded hours before.
But I could hear him.
You heard the tape recorder, Mrs. Crow, while Professor Barlow was down the hall murdering his friend. He didn't get back in time. There was an unexpected struggle. Dr. Allenby's telephone fell to the floor. Barlow hurried, but the tape had run out and was flapping against the machine. He picked up his telephone, talked to the librarian, and hung up.
I deny it.
How do you spell Tutankhamun?
T-U-T-A-N-K-H-A-M.
With an umlaut over the U. That is right, Professor. And you learned that spelling years ago. No archaeologist or anthropologist in the world would miss it.
I hated him. He would claim my word. He said I was stupid, not even a good teacher.
Coroner Broman, I recommend that you instruct this jury to find that William Allenby died at the hands of his assistant in the anthropology department, Professor John Barlow.
An anthropologist who couldn't spell King Tut's full name. Was that what got you on the track, Mr. Keg?
Well, if you remember, that fact was not mentioned until Mrs. Crow took the witness stand.
That's right.
The tip-off was Professor Barlow. He said he was the murdered man's friend. He was anxious to help find the killer. No trace of hate. And yet he admitted he had weathered 25 years of Dr. Allenby's storms. If anyone is persecuted and held down long enough, hate builds and someday it flares out.
I still think King Tut had something to do with it.
Professor Barlow should have remembered the curses of death found in the tomb of Tutankhamun. He might have asked the library how to spell a different word. Good night.
Welcome back. Well, this is probably my least favorite episode of A Life in Your Hands so far. Because, really, the solution was telegraphed. I saw it kind of from the beginning that what he was doing with the recording. Maybe I've just been listening to too many detective shows, but this one seemed just way too obvious and easy. So hopefully they'll step it up a notch for the last episode of the series we'll play next week. Well, we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we received several emails from folks when we had an issue with one of the episodes not playing. Apologize for that. Usually, when I receive these, I'm not actually able to access them or edit the podcast at all until I get home from work about 5 o'clock mountain time. So appreciate everybody's patience when something happens. But Kelly noted in her comment, email, I've been listening to your show since the beginning, and now I have my husband hooked on the lineup and a life in your hands. Thanks for all you do. Well, I'm glad your husband is listening to those two. And of course, Life in Your Hands is ending, but lineup will be on Saturday. Tomorrow we have Let George Do It, and I hope you'll be listening. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13, GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. We also appreciate your support in our listener support campaign, support.GreatDetectives.net. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.